Yeah, scripture reading this morning is from the letter of Paul to the Romans. If you want to follow, it's in your bulletin. I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing to the glory about to reveal to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. May God add a blessing to the hearing and understanding of this word. Amen.
Good morning. We are pleased to celebrate Children's Day with all of you. We appreciate the tremendous support we have received from the congregation throughout the Sunday school season. An example of that support was evidenced by over 50 pledges made by parishioners when we sponsored a Help Stop Bullying campaign. The response was so positive that we intend to present more programs on the topic of bullying in the months to come. You helped us feel like we made a difference in the way people thought about bullying. South Britain Congregational Church Sunday School spent the winter and spring sessions studying the birth of Jesus, the Holy Family's escape into Egypt to save Jesus' life, Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist, his temptation by Satan during 40 days and 40 nights in the desert, and some of the spiritual practices Jesus taught us during the sermons on the Mount, including the Beatitudes and the Lord's Prayer. We practice using our Bibles, finding Bible verses, and learning the way both the Old and the New Testaments are structured. We supplemented our learning with numerous art projects that we proudly offered for display on various bulletin boards in the parish hall. Additionally, we sponsored our first community service campaign against bullying and helped serve food at the annual church pancake supper for another community service project. At this time, we would like to share the essence of some of our lessons with you.
Jesus was born in a Bethlehem stable. An angel told nearby shepherds of the birth, and they came to see Jesus. The Magi came from the east to honor Jesus and to offer gifts.
Emperor Augustus decreed that the whole Roman Empire must take part in a census. Families were instructed to be registered at their ancestral home. Because Joseph was descended from the line of David, and he and Mary, who was pregnant, traveled to be registered in Bethlehem. They were there. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in a stable. Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Shepherds attending their sheep were terrified when the angel appeared and the glory of God shone around them. The angel stilled their fears, saying that the Messiah had been born and telling them where to find this child. The heavenly hosts filled the sky, praising God. After the angels left, the shepherds went to Bethlehem and found just what they had been told. Everyone was amazed by the shepherds' news. The shepherds continued to praise God. The wise men from the east asked King Herod where to find the child who was born the king of the Jews. The frightened king called the advisors, then sent the travelers to search for the baby in Bethlehem, telling them to report back to him. The Magi followed the star to the stable where Jesus was. They knelt down and offered gifts. Being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went home a different way.
An angel,
that's right, just go,
warned Jesus to escape to Egypt because Herod planned to destroy baby Jesus. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus returned to Nazareth after Herod's death.
King Herod was frightened and angry about the news that the king had been born. He planned a search for the child and destroy him. And an angel told Joseph in a dream to take Mary and to flee Egypt, to Egypt. Joseph obeyed the angel's instructions. The family stayed in Egypt until Herod died. Then an angel spoke again to Joseph. He's back there. To tell him that the family should return to the land of Israel.
John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. The Spirit of God descended on Jesus.
Where's my crowd?
He was identified as the Son of God.
John the Baptist baptized people in the Jordan River and promised them that someone more powerful was coming. Jesus showed up one day and asked John to baptize him. John protested, saying that he should be baptized by Jesus instead, but Jesus insisted. As Jesus came up from the water, the heavens opened. And the Holy Spirit came down and settled on him like a dove. A voice came from the heavens saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased."
Jesus fasted and then was tempted. Satan urged Jesus to create food, show off God's power, and rule the world. And Jesus rejected the temptation with scriptures.
After he was baptized, Jesus entered the wilderness for a time of testing. He fasted for 40 days, 40 nights. The devil, she left. The devil, or tempter, tempted Jesus three times. He offered an opportunity to turn stones into bread. Miraculous protection. If Jesus would leap from a high place and power over the kingdoms for all the world, if he would denounce God, Jesus countered with words of scripture. In the face of these temptations, Jesus chose God's way. Finally, the devil left, and the angel came to care for Jesus. Okay.
Jesus taught the disciples on a mountain overlooking the Jordan River. He offered blessings to those who follow God's ways of mercy, righteousness, and peace, rather than striving for worldly rewards. Jesus taught the disciples to love everyone and to pray for those who persecuted against them. Loving one's enemies is a reflection of God's love.
As Jesus traveled through the countryside, large crowds of people followed him. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain overlooking the Jordan. His disciples followed him, and he taught them there as well as anyone else who wanted to listen. These lessons are collectively known as the Sermon on the Mount. In such beautiful mountain settings, Jesus told the crowds that blessings would come to those, the world views as weak and unimportant, to those who have traveled, suffered loss, cared for others, or chosen to follow God rather than pursue the personal gains. These are the people that will receive comfort and rewards from God. These ideas are captured in what's known as today as the Beatitudes.
During one of the sermons on the Mount, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. Jesus gives an example of a prayer, and this was one of the many spiritual practices that Jesus instructed his disciples to follow.
In the Sermons on the Mount, Jesus addresses what we today call spiritual practices. He warned against doing pious acts for show and praise. He taught his followers to give alms secretly, to pray quietly in their rooms rather than loudly in synagogues or on street corners, and to fast without looking dismal. Jesus gave an example of a prayer, what we call today the Lord's Prayer. He emphasized the importance of forgiving others. Showy religious actions receive attention as an immediate reward. God rewards faithful acts done quietly and with humility. Let's look at what the Lord's Prayer means. Our Father, which art in heaven. Jesus teaches his disciples that God is our parent in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. This is the first of the seven requests in this prayer. Hallowed, meaning holy. And as we say this line, we are reminding ourselves that God is separate from us, completely pure and faultless. Thy kingdom come. God's kingdom is designed around his ways and his order. The second request in the prayer is that God's ways happen here on earth as they are fully obeyed in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. The third request in the prayer is that God's will occurs. Here we are aligning our will with God's will. We are submitting ourselves to him. Give us this day our daily bread. We need God in all areas of our life, physical, spiritual, and mental. And this is a daily need. We need to come back to God regularly. Each day, indeed, many times each day. The fourth request in the prayer is that God will fulfill our daily needs for his love. And forgive us our trespasses. The fifth request brings to mind the ways in which we have failed God and others and asked the Lord for his forgiveness. As we forgive those who trespass against us, we receive God's forgiveness. We bring to mind anyone who we feel may have wronged us, and we forgive them. And lead us not into temptation. The sixth request in the Lord's Prayer is not to be in a place where temptation might overwhelm us. It is not wrong to be tempted or tested. Remember, Jesus was tempted in the desert. It is wrong to give in to that temptation. But deliver us from evil. The seventh and final request made in the Lord's Prayer is for protection by our Heavenly Father in heaven. In times of trial, Jesus recognizes the Lord as his source of deliverance. Likewise, we are to depend on God when evil is at our door. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The prayer finishes with a closing doxology, that is, a hymn of praise to God. Once again, we thank you for your support of our Sunday school program. We'd like to remind folks that it takes a village to raise a child. And we look to each of you for continued encouragement and interest in the children's welfare and success. This also concludes our month-long project of Cherishing the Children. Thank you for your photos and support.